Well, as our kiddos make their way downstairs and to their classes, you might have noticed that there is no preaching lectern, and so there's a bunch of people going, yes, finally, no sermon. We don't have a sermon, we have three sermons or three sermonettes, and I'll explain that here in a moment. We have been in this sermon series that we are calling Can We Talk? And we intentionally placed it at this time, the launch of our ministry year, as we are well aware that we are a little over a month away from a big election. And no doubt you have experienced firsthand or, tangentially to you, conversations can get difficult, complicated, argumentative. And we're sitting as a team figuring out, like, what would it look like for us to engage in such a way that for us as followers of Jesus, that we might have something to offer our relationships. And so when we had that talk, we had the tag, can we talk, we crossed out that line, talk, and we put something else in. So for the first week, it was, can we be curious? Can we be curious in other people and what their stories are? Then can we know our own story? And then before we're ready to talk, can we learn how to listen first? And so we're going to have an opportunity to do some more listening. And so I want to invite up Ryan, Caroline, and Mary Beth, who are going to be helping us today. And they'll introduce themselves a little bit more here in a moment. Here's what I can tell you about these three people. It's just normal people. Good people, but just normal people. And what I'm looking forward to is just hearing their insights. And maybe we might be able to relate to them in one way or another. As I mentioned, we are in a kind of a complicated political climate, strong opinions, convictions, and beliefs. And we should have those strong opinions, convictions, and beliefs. And then we should also figure out what does it look like to humbly lay those before the Lord and to go, okay, how does my Christian faith inform the way I live? And that's what these three are going to help us do here in a minute. But if we're going to be an official church, we've got to read some scripture. And so that's what I'm going to do here. I'm going to read the greatest commandment. It comes from Mark's gospel. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.' 'Well,' said teacher," the man replied, "'you are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I introduced you guys just by your first name. Can you just give us your first and last name and who you are, kind of what you do, and then I will get into giving our prompts and asking you guys some questions. So,
Ryan. My name is Ryan Jackson. I am married to Judy. We've been married for over 19 years. We have three daughters, Kayla, Maddie, and Ashlyn. They are 14, 11, and 9. Almost 12. She wants everyone to know she's almost 12. And I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I've been a therapist for about 15 years. And I've been here in Atlanta at LifeGate Counseling Center in Buckhead since 2011. Last key piece here, a lot of you guys know I'm actually also in the midst of a career change, so I'm only a therapist for so much longer. I'm actually going to be going in a very similar direction as I'm going to own an auto repair business much like doing therapy with people. So fix marriages to fix cars, it's a good change.
My name is Caroline Merrill, and I'm in eighth grade at Ridgeview Charter Middle School. My parents are Ben and Chrissy Merrill, and I have three brothers, Benjamin, Brooks, and Quivion.
Good job. My name is Mary Beth Walker. I am married. We have got three boys, brace yourself, 7, 6, and 5, Charles, Shep, and David. And we have been coming to Kairos for like 9 years now. So pretty exciting. I am an ordained Presbyterian pastor, got ordained here at Kairos in 2021. And I currently am the chaplain at Canterbury Court, which is a senior community. We have mostly independent residents, but we also have assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory care. And so my job is to just be a chaplain and be with the residents of Canterbury Court. It's a wonderful place. I highly recommend it. That's it.
Like, so when it's time, you recommend it.
Yes, yes. I've already picked out my apartment for Ryan and I. You have to be 62 to move in. I know when. I'm very excited for my day at Canterbury.
You guys are off to a great start.
Thank
you. You guys almost know all the people in your family and their names. That's great. And ages. We'll keep going. I'm just going to kind of share with you these several prompts that we've discussed earlier in the week. And they're going to kind of engage them as they see fit. But just so you guys kind of get an idea of some of the conversation that we are having in preparing for this. Okay, and then I'll kick it over to you, Ryan. But here were some of the prompts that we gave. What informs the way you approach a difficult conversation, be it theologically, theoretically, relationally, maybe politically? And do you have any experiences to draw from? The next prompt was, what role does conflict play in relationships? And how do you experience or respond to conflict in your relationships? I'm sure we have some good examples of that. What does it matter in these tough situations and spots that you are a person of faith? How does your faith influence that? And how does your faith inform the ways that you try and desire to live out your lives? And the last one, share a story from a time that you had to navigate a difficult conversation or situation. And are you happy or okay with how that conversation went and played out? Maybe how could you have navigated it in a more faithful way? So jump in where you want, Ryan.
That's a lot of questions. I'm going to answer every single one of them. And you will sit here until I'm done. No, I'm not going to answer. I'm going to probably bounce around a little bit. A pastor, a student, and a therapist walk into church. It's like the start of a bad joke. It goes back a little to my intro. When I decided to become a therapist, I went to grad school at San Diego State, and that was a fairly intentional decision on my part. I had worked in ministry full-time prior to grad school, and faith had always kind of been a central part of my life and even my vocation to that point. And so I really intentionally chose an MFT program that was a secular program. I had gone to a Christian undergraduate program, and I just kind of wanted to have a bit more of a diverse experience, and so I did that. For me, that was kind of the beginning of me figuring out how to get comfortable with discomfort. How do I want to navigate these things that have normally been sort of automatic in the context that I had placed myself in prior to that? On the very first day of grad school, of class, the academic part of it, I was in a family systems class, and our professor said something to the effect of, what makes therapy therapy is when we're talking about relationships. And so framing all these conversations around relationship both fit kind of just for me with sort of how I'm wired, but also with the way that I sort of view the world. And so, to the question of kind of my approach to handling some of these conversations, for me, relationship is at the heart of that. And so I think of knowing when difficult conversations come, and for me, relationship is both goal and guide, right? And so the long term for me, the goal is that we are in good connected relationship. But theoretically, that relationship also will guide the conversation that we're having as we're having it. So for me, to kind of remind and root myself in relationship being both of those things, it helps me as I'm engaged in them. Practically speaking, I'm a journal guy. I'm a, like, write my thoughts and feelings out on paper. In that, I will oftentimes have like bullet point lists in these conversations that I know I'm walking into. So you know, the last thing was to share a story. I'll kind of bleed a story into this. So at LifeGate, I started there in 2011, and in 2016-17, we began a process of me becoming the executive director. And so the previous executive director, the board had asked, they basically asked me to have the conversation with him, saying it's time for Ryan to be the director and for the previous guy to no longer. This was my kind of a professional mentor of mine, and so to have that conversation was quite nerve-wracking for me. And so I spent a couple of hours prior to writing out bullets in my journal. And when he and I sat down to have this conversation, I had my journal sitting on the table. Now, the way it served me was I actually didn't even open it. Just the process and practice of kind of getting those really clear thoughts out on paper helped to guide me. I knowing myself, I am such an emotionally sort of attuned, but also just wired guy, that I can sometimes get way too sucked in to the emotion of a difficult conversation. And when I do that, it's lost. So, you want to keep going?
Yeah. I like the part that I heard, just I want to latch onto, is that in these difficult situations, that relationship is both the goal and the process. And I like that, because I think we lose sight of the relationships.
Yeah, and I think kind of now moving into this discussion around faith, so for me, like, when I discovered this about, you know, therapy and relationships, I just went, gosh, well, this actually fits with what my theology is, right? I have a theology of a very relational God. And so when I get sucked in and get really stuck, I find myself in a less faithful place. That's just what happens. Mm-hmm. As a person of faith, when I'm in the therapy room, there are times that those conversations about faith, the language is really explicit about faith, but more often it is not. And so for me then, in that context, what faithful looks like is really listening with presence, right? I may not be able to tell some person explicitly about Jesus dying on the cross for them, but I can sit with someone and be with them in the midst of whatever thing they have brought in. So faithful means that I am present both to myself as well as with the person that I'm with. And that presence looks like I need to be aware of and attuned to what am I thinking, what am I feeling, kind of what are the things going on around me, what insecurities inform me. That's a lot of what goes on for me. There have been times that I have been fortunate to preach in different contexts. And so if you've ever heard me preach, you probably hadn't picked up on this, but every time before I'll preach, I will start my sermon with a prayer that's very simple, and it just says, Lord, give us soft hearts, open minds, and listening ears. That is also a ritual that when I'm seeing clients, if I've got a day where I'm seeing 3, 4, 5 in a row, you can kind of get lost in the rhythm of doing a session 1 hour after the next. And so when I know I've got that lined up, I will take time between clients, and I'll just say that phrase to myself out loud, right? It helps to sort of attune my heart and my mind to the conversation in a way that's gonna be helpful. It helps me to be present to the person that I'm sitting with. The other thing I find myself asking for pretty regularly is, because I don't think that my faith can be expressed without these things, and that is for humility, courage, and wisdom. And I ask for those things while I'm engaged in these conversations. 2 Corinthians 10:5 mentions, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. For me, those conversations where I really need to take things captive is in my own reactivity. And so it is in asking the Lord, help me to take captive my own reactivity and make that obedient to Christ. Obviously, conflict, difficult conversations, that's kind of the nature of the beast in the world of therapy. I don't even think about anymore sitting with a couple who's screaming at each other. That is not difficult to me. It just isn't, because it's, like I said, it goes with the territory. It's a whole different conversation when I am trying to have that with, say, Judy, or a friend, or one of my daughters, or even, I'm working a couple days a week now at an auto shop, and so to watch the dynamic between a tech and the service advisor, the guy who works up front, I'm gonna get to continue doing a little marriage therapy, apparently. but in that, that only goes as well as I am present in those conversations. And if I'm just not paying attention to what's going on inside of me emotionally, it just won't go well. And so in the midst of that conflict, one thing that I say to couples, I probably have said it to every couple I've worked with at some point, you know, couples come in, they fight, it's this way, no, it's that way, I don't really care which way it is, but I will ask these couples, I'll tell them, you tell me what is more important, being right or being connected, mm-hmm. and you can't have both at the same time. And then I usually will go on to say, look, I am just as guilty as the next person of fighting for being right over fighting for being connected. Here's what I know. Every single time with Judy, for instance, if I fight for being right, I will lose out on both right and connected. Mm-hmm. If I fight for being connected, there's a couple of things that happens for me with that need to be right. If I fight to be connected, either I'll get right thrown in sometimes, very rare in my house, or I just won't care. The need to be right ceases to matter when I have found connection that ultimately is the kind of connection the Lord wants Judy and I to have with each other, that the Lord wants us to have in the midst of all these conversations that are difficult, right? It's in that conflict where we can actually find that connection with each other.
I heard you say, and we're gonna transition to Caroline here, humility, courage, and was it grace? Wisdom. Humility, courage, and wisdom. Man, there's your three-point outline if you needed that for your sermon. Caroline, we're going to hand it over to you here. And it was really important for us to have Caroline because, as you see, we are also a church of many, many students. And we know all of our students are living very real lives with complicated relationships, and they care about the stuff that's going on politically and all that stuff as well. And so we thought asking Caroline to kind of represent students really is representing us as a church. So Caroline, we're just gonna kind of work through these together. And that first one was this: what informs how you deal with difficult situations, conversations, relationships? You have three brothers. I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
When I'm going into a difficult conversation, like, I feel like kind of the first thing that comes to mind is not usually my faith, but usually the first thing that comes to mind is all the different ways that the conversation could go wrong. So, sorry. After I start to worry for a little bit, the faith part of it comes back into mind because I'm thinking, well, I mean, it helps ease my nerves a little bit when I think about how, like, God has a plan for me. And, like, they will be fulfilled one way or another. And if something were to happen that I didn't want or expect to happen, it would still be the path that God has planned for me, and it would still work out in the exact way that he wanted it to. And that usually brings me the most peace. But another thing that helps is thinking about, like, the different ways my dad has taught me to approach difficult conversations. So he's taught me to approach them in a healthy and compassionate way, and that also, like, helps me relax a bit more. And I also always remember that if this relationship that I'm having a difficult conversation about or with is, if it's worth pursuing, then setting, like, if I'm setting boundaries, it'll improve the relationship, not damage it.
I like that. If the relationship is worth it pursuing, that's a great way of looking at it. Let me ask you this. You said at first you don't always lead with your faith, but I know that you are trying to do that, as we all here are. So when you are dealing with a difficult relationship, a difficult conversation, how has your faith, and as it's growing, how does your faith help you navigate those difficult situations?
So I feel like God is my rock, so I can always depend on him when I need him, and I can always thank him for the things that he's given me. And I can always like lean on him when I need support for myself and my life. And when I'm going into these difficult conversations, like God is always there. So even if it doesn't go well, he's always there for me to support me in what I'm doing.
I love that, because how often do we deal with any number of different situations and we forget that we have the resource in prayer, we have a resource in our relationship with Jesus. And I think for you as a student, and really for all of us, we're trying to remind ourselves of that. Last question, we asked, do you have a story, something that you can draw upon from your life, maybe something at school? I don't know what your answer is necessarily, but a story that you can draw upon and share with us that kind of illustrates some of what we've been talking about.
Yeah. So one time during school, there was this girl that I was friends with, and I could tell that she was not being kind or treating one of my other friends kindly. So I pulled her aside and I told her like that the way that she was behaving was obviously distressing my other friend, and that she should probably change her behavior. And she apologized to my other friend, and they're still friends to this day, and I think it might have helped with their relationship. Because I feel like if they hadn't worked out the conflict, it would have turned into resentment, because I don't think my friend realized that she was hurting the other person. And so I think that I'm glad that they worked it out, because it prevented that resentment that could have sprouted in their relationship.
That's awesome. And we heard earlier you talk about kindness and compassion. It sounds like, hey, I need some kindness and compassion, and I'm going to take that to these relationships, and it worked out in a great way. All right. Mary Beth has been chomping at the bit. She says, I don't need prompts. Let me just wind me up and let me go. So,
that is not true.
Along these themes, Mary Beth,
unbelievable.
Take us home.
Okay. Oh, geez. So when I was in training to be a pastor, one of the things you have to do is something called CPE, which is clinical pastoral education. And usually people do CPE in hospitals. My CPE semester was during the summer of 2020. So obviously CPE in a hospital is canceled. This is driving me nuts. Is that okay? Sorry, Billy. My CPE was down at a place called The Bluff, which is right around the Falcon Stadium, and we just went out into the community and tried to minister and love on people who were going through a really hard time. I cannot even tell you some of the interesting and difficult and challenging conversations, especially during the pandemic, just going a few miles away from my house and seeing a totally different world. But one of our CPE trainers, she said, in every conversation, all it is, it's one child of God talking to another child of God. And that has kind of transformed my whole way that I engage conversations, especially at Canterbury at my house with my friends, that I am a child of God looking at the face of another child of God for whom God loves just as much as God loves me. And so when I'm in these conversations, it really helps to transform when I think this is a God that I'm talking to. She also told us that sometimes in conversations, the best thing to do is to just say the most true thing. And so in my work as a chaplain, people will come and have really painful, difficult conversations. They'll say things like, I'm not ready to die. I'm really scared to die. And I just say the most true thing, looking at another beloved child of God, say, I know you're scared. I'm scared for you, and I don't want this either. I'm not trying to solve or heal or fix anything. I'm just saying the most true thing I can think of. And sometimes in difficult conversations, we think we have to have the right answer or say something perfectly, but sometimes really all it is just, what's the most true thing that I can say to this child of God? I personally do not shy away from conflict with people that I love or feel invested with. Conflict with people that I don't know, I would rather not. So like if we're at a restaurant and someone messes up my order, I will eat it even if I'm allergic to it, because I'm like, I don't want this person to be mad at me, right? Like I will do whatever it takes to not have conflict with this random stranger. But with someone that I love and have a relationship stake in, I feel like conflict is actually the thing that we can do to grow closer with one another. I have a coworker that I work with, obviously a coworker. And I could tell a few weeks ago, she and I were off. There was something that was just off with us, and I couldn't figure it out, and I just assumed maybe I had done something, she didn't like me, I don't know. So I just went into her office, and I just said, hey, can we talk? I said, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like we're off. I just said the most true thing that I could say. And in the course of the conversation, she actually got to share with me some misconceptions that she had about our relationship, some things that I was able to go, oh my God, cannot believe you thought that. I'm so sorry. Let me tell you actually what I think or how I feel. And so that conflict, although it was not fun and it was hard for us at the beginning, it actually led to a deeper and a more intimate and a better connection for us. And I would say the thing that I loved about the Lindsay sermons, about the first one being curious, and then the second one was about trying to understand yourself better. That was another thing we learned in CPE, was being curious, not critical. And I find that to be true more often than not in these civil conversations about myself. Okay, I just saw something, or someone just said something, and I'm feeling like I'm at 11 of rage, right? Okay, let me stop. What's going on with me that just bothered me so much? Let me get curious about myself. Why is it that when you said this or when I saw this, what is that triggering for me? Am I scared? Am I angry? Am I lonely? What is going on inside? And that has really helped me when I can get to the root of maybe what is going on with me, and then I'm better able to have a difficult conversation because I'm a little bit more aware of what's going on. The last thing I'll say, I promise, is that I talk a lot about Canterbury because I love it so much. And one of the things I really love about it is that it's this group of like about 400-ish people, and they're all over the map, politically, opinions, perspectives, life experiences, work, everything. They're like, and after I think it was the Uvalde shooting, there was a deep sense of pain and frustration and anger and sadness that was within our community, and a group of really, really smart women got together, and they were like, we need to talk about this. We have to find a way to talk about what's going on, but not fight. And so they started something called Civil Conversations, and it actually happens every Friday at Canterbury at 4 p.m. You're welcome to come. And it is an opportunity not, and this is why it's different. Their goal is not to defend or to explain or to convince. Their goal is to learn about someone else's perspective. And so it changes the whole conversation when they were going, help me understand how your perspective is this. Help me understand why you think this is the right way forward. And it has just transformed our community. I mean, they are having the most difficult conversations, and they're doing it in a really beautiful way. It has just been, it's really been super, like, eye-opening and helpful for me of like, oh gosh, if I'm going to face this difficult conversation, am I doing it in a way where I'm trying to actually just understand someone better, or am I doing it because I want to defend and explain and prove myself right? And I just am really grateful that they have modeled that and showcased that. And I think we're all going to face difficult conversations every day. Sometimes we don't mind them. Sometimes they terrify us. But I think that God calls us these conversations because, as Ryan says, like that's how we have better and stronger relationships. And I think I'm done talking now. I think that's it. Check
I'm
my
pray
notes.
Yeah. But that's before I do. Let's give these guys, especially Caroline, for carrying them, a round of applause. But I think, you know, listening to all three, there's something to pull out. Each offered all of